Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, you guys, welcome back to my podcast. I'm so excited about today's episode. Today, I'm going to be making an episode about healing the inner child because I took an Instagram poll, and you guys had voted to do the healing the inner child for this Saturday, which is May 7th. And I'm also going to do the one that is also about healing heartbreak, but I'm not going to do that today, but I'm still going to do that episode. But I just was voting to see which one you guys wanted for today. So today we're talking about how to heal the inner child. So I also just wanted to say that you guys can book coaching with me. I'm offering a 3-month coaching package on my website, and you can go on my website, which is victoriadeval.com, and book that coaching package for yourself. You can book a free intro call. So the intro call is where we see, do we resonate? Do you want to move forward? Where you're at? What's going on? What are your goals? Where are you in your life? And everything like that. So you can book a free intro call with me, and you can just do that straight through my website at victoriadeval.com. And then you can also follow me on Instagram and on TikTok and on YouTube, all at victoriadeval.com. Okay, so let's get into how to heal the inner child. So the first thing, I'm going to talk about two main ways that you can heal your inner child. And I think that the main way that people talk about in life is, I think it's oversaturated, which is kind of, so I'm not going to be talking about it, which is this idea that, you know, just being really in this playful energy and doing the things that your inner child loved to do and, you know, just kind of just embodying that playfulness and that that joy and that childlike joy, that childlike curiosity. And I think that's super, super important. But because that's super oversaturated and kind of the obvious one, we're not going to talk about that. So the first thing that we're going to talk about is sitting with the pain of your inner child and holding that pain and not shaming them through it. So this means there is a lot of pain that is stored in our body, and the inner child is from ages 1 to 18. You can also focus on ages, you can split it up and do ages 1 through 10 or as like the child, and then do, you know, ages 10 through 18 as your kind of teen or adolescent. But the inner child experienced a lot of pain. You as a child experienced a lot of pain for some of us. You know, for some of us, we experienced a lot of pain. I personally did, and a lot of other people did as well. And even if you didn't experience a lot of pain, there's still some areas of pain that you can sit with. And a lot of times we are, when we go and we think of things that happened when we were children, we don't really know how to cope with those feelings. And so one of the things that you can do that heals your inner child is you right now as an adult, you as a full, you know, functioning human being that can make healthy decisions, you show up as the protector, as the parent for your inner child. And your inner child, if your inner child is like, you know, say you had a traumatic experience when you were 7 years old, you hold that part of you that is kind of, you know, in pain. And really, it's just the memory, that experience that's in pain for you, right? And you hold that version of you and you say, I love you so much. I will sit with this pain with you. Let's, for example, say it's particularly around things that you feel shame around. So let's say in my life, when I was 7 years old, I dealt with legal complications with my biological father. So my biological father went to jail when I was seven, and for things that had to do with me. And as a child, I remember feeling, or as I got a little older, feeling very confused, very guilty, very, you know, just I started acting out and things of that nature. And so I sit with that version of me and I say, it makes complete sense that you're acting out. It makes complete sense that you feel these feelings of shame or of guilt, or you're confused and you don't know how to process everything that's going on for you right now. You don't understand how to process it, but I'm here and I will sit with you through it, and I will hold you through it, and I will sit with you as you process these things, and I will affirm to you that you are so worthy of love and you are so beautiful and so worthy of the space that you need to process this. And all of your emotions make sense. You are safe. You are loved. You are precious. You're just safe right here with me. You're safe. And just affirming that with your inner child and with those experiences that you went through, and you will feel that visceral release, because for so many of us, we didn't have a healthy way to process our emotions, and we didn't have someone that we could go to process what was going on, or maybe that wasn't even what we were children, so we didn't even know how to communicate at that age. Or maybe there was something that happened in school. For example, so many of us girls, you know, this people-pleasing pattern and this idea that men are, and the boys are more valuable than us, than the girls, started at such a young age. So holding, for example, maybe you had an experience at school when you were in fourth grade or when you were in sixth grade, and holding that version of you when you were in fourth grade and saying, you know, maybe a boy was mean to you, or you got bullied in school. Maybe you got bullied in school, which I did, and maybe you got bullied in school, or maybe the kids were mean to you, or maybe you had some trauma around relating to other girls because you had trauma with girls, or maybe you had trauma around relating to boys because you had trouble with the boys, and your feelings around that and the guilt or the shame or the pain that came up with that. All that you have to do to heal your inner child is sit with that version of you. So for example, if I'm in fourth grade and maybe this didn't happen to me, but maybe the boys all, you know, come in a circle or something and tell me that I'm ugly. And that really impacts me. That makes me feel like shit. That makes me feel unworthy. That makes me feel unvaluable. That makes me feel ashamed, right? And this is a made up scenario, but this is just an example for just to show you how to do this technique. So then you would sit with that experience, and it's going to be visceral. It's going to be emotional. And you sit with that you right there who's experiencing that. And you say, and you sit with her and you say, you are so valuable. I'm so sorry that you experienced such cruelty from this world, from these boys, but you are so valuable and you don't need to shrink yourself or, you know, carry yourself with your head down, and you don't need to, you know, feel like you're not worthy because you're so worthy. And I understand all of your emotions. It makes sense as a child that you would feel that way because it's difficult to process and it's difficult to go through. And God knows this is so difficult for you. And I love you so much. And I will sit with you through this. And you felt like you had no one else during this time, but you have me. I'm here with you. I'm here with you. And I love you. And that heals your inner child. That heals you. That brings all of the fragmented pieces of you back into integration, back into wholeness. And when you go back for all of the parts of you that were fragmented and split off, and you bring them back in, that's the process of healing and of coming back into wholeness and into embodiment. Because when you do that, you also heal those wounds. And you then, when you heal the part of you that was acting out from a trauma, and you sit with that part of you and you release that part of you, you also show up differently in the present. So for example, if, you know, let's go with this example of when a girl is being bullied or called ugly by the boys in her class, and she then feels ashamed. She then feels like there's something wrong with her, and she carries that for the next 20 years. She carries that she's not pretty, that she's, you know, there's something shameful and wrong about her. She disconnects from her body. She then thinks there's something shameful about her face and about her body. She disconnects from those parts of herself, and she starts hating herself. She starts hating how she looks. She starts hating all these things. And so when you sit with that version of you, you also say, I hear you and I love you, but I'm here now and I can release this experience. This is what you need. This is what my inner child needs, is for me to say, I'm validating and hearing all of these emotions, and I can also let them go. We don't need to carry this pain that was never ours. We can let it go, and we can show up as full human beings and as the fullness that is your birthright. That's getting back to the inner child. The inner child is that pure, that whole, that completely integrated, that unashamed, that wild version of you that is completely in joy, that is completely in union with all parts of themselves. And that's what healing the inner child does. So then when you heal those parts of you, when you sit with those parts of you, you also have to let those parts that came from those pains go. You have to let those trauma responses go, and you have to reparent yourself in the present. So for example, in that example, that would look like letting go of that shame about maybe they told you your nose was ugly or something. And for 20 years, you think my nose is ugly, and you, that's a part of you that gets cut off because you take that part of you, your nose, that's that sacred part of you, and you shame that part of you. You then shame it. And so then you then become fragmented. And so bringing yourself back in says, wait, I'm reclaiming myself. I am beautiful. My nose is beautiful. My nose is beautiful. It is created by God. It is created in divinity. There is nothing wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with me. And I understand this little girl who was hurt and who had this pain and who was shamed by the world and who was hurt and shamed and was put in pain. But I no longer need to carry that. I can say, I am not going to continue to shame myself the way that others shame me. I'm going to be the version of me that I needed at that time. And I'm going to say, no, I love myself. No, I love my nose. So part of healing your inner child means also holding yourself through your experiences and then showing up differently now. For me, I'll just talk about an experience that I had as a teen, where I believe I talked about this in another podcast episode, but was one of the recent integrations that I have done. And I experienced this maybe a few months ago when I was in New York and I was with Jeremiah, my boyfriend, and I was just talking to him about, you know, the pain that I experienced as a child with other girls, especially in my teen, from like, you know, it was really my whole life, but especially from like 10 years old to 18, and the betrayal and the pain and the cattiness and the distrust and the abandonment and the people pleasing and all of that. And also the main thing that came up there when I was in that conversation, but also all parts of that, was that feeling like, you know, no girls, I can't really connect with any girls because no girls will ever get me or something like that. Just feeling, you know, misunderstood, like children do. And like, you know, we do. And for, because I had not integrated that part, I was still carrying that part as an adult, not being able to see, wow, so many women resonate with me. You know, I have thousands and thousands of women who listen to this podcast episode or listen to my podcast and follow me online, and they really resonate with what I say. I'm not shamed anymore for speaking my truth, because as a child, you know, it was more than just, I kind of made light of it, but it was more than just being misunderstood. It was that I was aggressively shamed as a child for speaking my truth, because from a young age, I part of my purpose in this world is bringing truth to women, bringing light to the dark, bringing the whole truth forward as the feminine does, right? Bringing the whole truth forward that most people don't want to see. And when I was a child, people just weren't ready. When I was 14, 15, 16, people weren't ready for the truth that I held in my body. And my community shamed me. My family shamed me. The girls around me shamed me. Of course, the boys shamed me. And I felt completely alone and completely ostracized. And I felt like totally just, wow, no one is ever going to, because it was reinforced to me for around 8 years, just over and over and over and over. It felt when I left adolescence, when I became an adult, when I turned 18, I had this belief that nobody is going to understand me and nobody, my voice will never be heard and respected. And I'm going to speak my voice because I can't help it. It's just like natural to me. I'm going to speak my truth. However, you know, people will not be able to grasp it. And I had to sit with that part of me, that girl who was so hurt and was so ostracized and was so, you know, alone and felt like her voice and her truth would never be received by this world. And I had to hold that version of me and understand that and be like, wow, that makes complete sense. Like at that time, that was your truth. That was your experience. Like that was your experience. But that was when I was a child and I no longer need to hold on to this truth because it's not true anymore. And I can let that go so that I can pull myself back into integration and I can show up as the whole woman that I want to be today. And then from that space, I can experience the truth of the actual reality of what's going on. I can allow that reality to resonate in my body. I can allow, you know, myself to be held by other women. I can allow myself to resonate with other women. I can allow myself to have women, you know, resonate with me and to experience that as truth. And I can allow myself to create bonds with other women and trust that they understand and can hold my truth and my wisdom and my knowledge and my experiences, my voice. I can trust that there are women out there who can hold my voice, who can hold my truth. And then you also see when you go through those experiences, you also see all of the ways that you haven't reinforced this belief that was born from the pain that you experienced as a child. So all of the ways that I chose relationships that with women that were not right for me, that reinforced, you know, women are never going to understand me, that reinforced my beliefs. And when I let that go and step out of that, I can then show up and choose women that actually resonate and reflect back to me the whole truth that I have integrated. And the whole truth is, wow, I held that inner child. I held that version of me and I pulled her back into integration and I let her pain go. And then I can show up as a whole human being. And so that is healing the inner child, because then you show up as the version of you before the pain, because the pain was never you. The goal is to show up as you before that. And even the other day, you know, I was thinking about curiosity. And when I stopped being curious about the world and about other people, and curiosity is this trait, this childlike trait, right? This trait that is beautiful. But as a child around the age of maybe 11 or 12, I stopped being curious about others and about the world because I was so shut out from the world that I shut the world out. So I was so shut out from other people and they were completely denying me, denying me, denying me. So I became uninterested in what they had to say. I became uninterested in their truth. I became uninterested in being curious about other people's experiences, about their lives, about their views, because I was so shut out for mine. And so getting back, holding that girl who says, you know, I am in pain. I'm being shut out from everyone that I know, from my family, from my community, from my schools, from the other girls, from the other boys. Nobody hears me. Nobody validates me. Everyone shames me. Everyone ostracizes me. Everyone hurts me. You know, everyone tells me to shut the fuck up. Like, you know, nobody can hear me. And so therefore, I'm not going to hear anybody. And that is, that was how I felt at that time. And that makes sense, right? Because that was my experience at that time. But that was born from pain. And I no longer need to carry that into my present once I have held that pain. And so then you go and you go back to before that pain and you show up as that purity, that pure version of you, that whole embodied version of you with the pain, but also with the light. And you integrate all and you say, I can show up with my experiences, but back before the pain now. I don't need to carry this pain and let it taint my way of showing up in the world. And then the next part, which kind of flows from that, the next part of healing your inner child that I wanted to talk about is being the safe space, choosing safety, choosing healthy relationships, protecting yourself the way that you needed when you were younger. And what I wrote in my little notes was, what does this say? Being in safe relationships that don't mirror childhood wounds and affirming to your inner child that they are safe now. So what your inner child needs, for example, let's talk about if you experienced sexual violence as a child, which I did, not before the age of 10, but after the age of 10, I started experiencing sexual violence. So for some women, which I didn't experience, but you know, a lot of women experience hypersexuality after sexual violence, which I did not experience. However, I know that that's a very common experience for women. And so if you experience, say you experience sexual violence when you are 13 years old, right? And that makes you feel anxious in your body. It makes you feel disconnected from your body. It makes you feel like, you know, your body is the only thing that could give you validation. It makes you feel like your body is a tool to gain what you want. It makes you feel unworthy. It makes you feel ashamed. It makes you feel like shit, right? It makes you feel like shit. And because born out of that violence that was never yours, born out of that violence that was done to you, you then act in a certain way because of that violence, right? So because of that experience that happened to you, we then take on these traits, these in pain traits, and we act in a certain way because of it. And we have to give 100,000% love and acceptance and understanding to both of those experiences, the experience that you experience, the pain, the violence, and then also the traits and the ways of showing up in the world that were born from that painful experience. So it's just like what I said before, you know, because I was shut out from the world, I then shut out the world, right? So that's like my trauma response. And then when you show up and you actually are showing up for that girl who was hurt by the world and wasn't ever heard, the way that she shows up is like, wow, that was just an experience I had, but I am the woman now that can actually be heard. I can protect and be that space for my, you know, 11-year-old self that needed that, for my 16-year-old self that needed that. And so as an adult then, what we do to heal our inner child is we do right by them in the way that we show up in relationship to others and in relationship to ourselves. So we have healthy boundaries. For example, I was always in abusive relationships, and showing up and protecting and loving my inner child looks like choosing myself and no longer being in abusive relationships, because all that does is traumatize over and over and over my inner child, and it affirms to her, you're unworthy, you're unworthy, you're unworthy. You become the oppressor to yourself when you carry out the trauma response as a result of your trauma, right? So then we become this, and it's not wrong. When I say you become the oppressor, it's a natural response to pain. We shut our hearts out, right? Or we take on these parts, like someone shames us, and then we feel that shame in our bodies. And so the part, you have to release that part of you that then becomes your own oppressor. You have to release that part of you and say, wait, the girl who was shamed needs another experience that reaffirms to her, you are not shameful. That's what she needs. She never needed, but she especially doesn't need any more experiences that reinforce for her that she is shameful. What she needs is the love from me and the full acceptance from me and the full just complete forgiveness and lack of shame and understanding from me, and then to give her experiences where that's not affirmed anymore. And that's the part of healing that is so important, where you re-regulate and rewrite your story. And even Jeremiah, I'm going to read one of his posts from the other day because he said this better than I ever could. He wrote here, we were talking about our relationship, and he said, only when the safety and love that we feel with another surpasses the safety and protection we receive from our limiting beliefs can we truly begin to release them. So what does that mean? That means if I feel, the safety and protection we receive from our limiting beliefs. So let's take a girl who thinks that all men are going to cheat, because she saw her father cheat and she saw all of the boyfriends she ever had cheat. So then she says, all men are going to cheat. So to protect myself, I'm going to hold on to that mindset. And I'm also going to go through all my boyfriend's phones. I'm going to, you know, choose men. I'm going to assume that all men cheat. So I'm not going to have the standard that a man can't cheat. And then I'm just going to go through his phone to try to make sure he's not cheating. And of course, when you hold that all men cheat, you're going to accept a cheater because you believe that all men cheat. But if you truly believe in your heart, there are many, many, many men that don't cheat, and I will not accept a cheater. You will not accept a cheater, right? But someone who believes that that's the only thing out there will accept a cheater. So the part of that over, so she, in that moment where she's holding on to this belief because she was pained as a child or whenever, that she was pained by experiencing cheating. So then she holds on to this belief that I can't ever trust men. And that belief protects her until she chooses to go and heal. That belief protects her because she's going to put herself in situations that are so traumatic and reaffirm her belief that she's never safe. So that belief will protect her until she experiences safety. And safety from herself and from a man will look like a man not cheating. And so when you realize, wait, my man is completely trustworthy, which most women don't understand because they've never experienced it and they've never chosen to rewrite their stories and to rewrite timelines, they don't even understand that that's an experience. Like, you know, for example, my man is so 1000% trustworthy. He will never cheat on me. And no, it's not, don't ever say that could never be me, girl, because it could be you. It cannot be me. He will never cheat on me, ever. That's a thing, because I chose a man who is 1000 zillion percent committed and devoted to me, and also committed and devoted to himself, which is even more important than him being devoted and committed to me. He's devoted to his own integrity. He has no tolerance for bad behavior in himself. And so whatever, it goes into this whole thing. So what I'm saying is, when you experience safety, true safety from another person, your limiting beliefs fall away. And when you experience that safety from yourself, your limiting beliefs fall away. So, for example, with myself, I had to relearn when I was single, I am no longer going to believe a limiting belief that I had was born from my trauma that I experienced, that I can't help if I get into abusive or toxic situations or relationships. They just happen to me. I play no part in them. I can't help if they happen. I can't really truly choose a good man or not. Like, I had the belief that's very common in our society right now, which is just, you know, men, you can't ever truly know. And the truth is you 100,000% can. And when I ditched that belief because I saw, wow, I'm keeping myself in victim mode. I'm keeping myself in a state of victimization and I'm not taking ownership for my life and I'm re-victimizing the young girl who needs me badly right now. I'm re-victimizing her every time that I say and affirm and choose relationships that mirror this belief that was born from trauma that says, abusive relationships just happened to me. I can't do anything about it. That is not protecting your inner child. And that is born from trauma. And so what we do to truly heal is we let go of these limiting beliefs and of these beliefs that are born from trauma. And we do the internal work that it takes to truly create safety in our bodies and to create safety in our hearts and to experience safety from another. And I cannot even express to you how healing and relaxing and re-regulating my relationship with Jeremiah is to my heart, to my body, to my womb, to every single part of my entire existence and soul. My relationship is so healing because it does not reaffirm even one limiting belief. All that it does is reaffirm you are safe. You are safe. You are held. You are loved. You are devoted to. You are committed to. You are so safe here. And it allows me to release and let go of every single limiting belief that I ever held in my life. And I don't even realize sometimes that I'm still holding on to some. And then in the safety of our relationship, I heal. In the safety of his love, I heal. But for women who consistently, like I used to years ago, choose unsafe relationships, they will never experience that. All that they will experience is the strengthening of their trauma response. They will experience the, see, that's why I can't trust men. See, that's why I have to go through his phone. See, that's why I have to, you know, close myself off. See, that's why I can never fully open myself up. See, that's why XYZ, whatever. See, that's why I'm not worthy. See, that's why I'm not valid. See, that's why I'll never experience love. See, that's why, you know, I'm ashamed. See, that's why, whatever. All of that is us not protecting our inner child. And so part of healing your inner child is showing up for them, is loving them so much and having so much empathy and understanding for the trauma and also the trauma response that, for example, me choosing relationship after a relationship that mirrored back to me this pain. Having so much unconditional empathy for that, because that also makes sense. I didn't know what I didn't know, and I was in pain, and I didn't know how to heal it. I didn't know how to show up for myself, and so I chose relationships over and over that put me through more pain, and I didn't know how to get out of it. And so showing that version of you as well, so much unconditional love, but then at a certain point, once you do know better, or once you have some sort of inkling that, wait, I don't think I need to hold on to this, because you're not going to know better 100,000% from the first day that you decide to truly start doing the work. However, some sort of inkling in your heart that says there's a life outside of this. And so showing up after you start doing the work and dedicating to yourself by choosing to create safety, the safety and the boundaries and the protection that your inner child needed. So for example, for a girl who was, you know, experienced sexual violence, getting into the truth of her heart and of your inner child, of your heart, and saying, what do you need? Do you need hypersexuality right now, where I'm just having sex with everyone that doesn't value me? Or do you need love and safety and to be truly cherished by another and by myself? Is that what you need? I didn't see that. And I love myself through the fact that I didn't see that. I love myself through my hypersexuality. I love myself because I didn't know. And I was just doing my best. And none of that is shameful. None of that is bad. None of that is a problem. It was just me trying my best in this world. And now I see, wait, actually what I need is a loving and safe experience for myself and for me to hold myself and protect myself. That's actually what that little girl needs. And that's what I need. Okay, let me create that. Let me create that. And that is healing your inner child. So that is, you know, how to heal your inner child. And also, you know, of course, getting into that playfulness and into that union with life and into that curiosity. But all of that is doing the things that we loved as children and reclaiming that and all of that. And I do those as well. But I think the bulk of the work is in what I just said and merely, you know, just painting or something is not going to be enough to be fully in union with that if you have not done the deep work as well. But it's equally as important, you know, it's just as important to do those, to have the fun and light and, you know, what is the word? Like not cherishing, but like, oh, sentimental, like those sweet sentimental moments, like that is so important. And I do that as well, but it's also very extremely important because you will not move forward unless you do this type of work as well. So I hope this was very helpful for you guys. And if you would, of course, like to go deeper into this, sign up for a free coaching session. If you would like to do a 3-month coaching immersion with me, and I will, you know, what my little slogan is going from wounded womanhood to embodied womanhood and becoming the woman that you always were and always are, but just beyond and below all those layers of pain, the heart of you exists. And I think I said it the other day on my YouTube, but it's like an artichoke. You just have to peel back the layers of pain till you get to the heart, you know, and peel back the layers of limiting beliefs and peel back the layers of shame and everything until you get back into union with joy and with life and with yourself. So if you would like to do that, you can sign up for a free intro call on my website, victoriadeval.com. And then you can also follow me on all my social media channels on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at Victoria Deval. And yeah, guys, thank you so much for listening. And I will talk to you guys later. Bye, guys.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy 2, get 2 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.